Book of Matthew tonight, chapter number 28, book of Matthew 28. We find the last three verses, what many times has told us to be the Great Commission. Commission is simply a word that has co-mission. In other words, it's you and I together on a mission. In other words, we have something we want to accomplish, and the Lord has given us that. In verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," listen to this, this is actually my text tonight, "all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." When we look at this text, we find the Lord Jesus. He said, "All power is given unto me." Everything in heaven. He says, and in earth. He says, "All power is given to me." The Lord had authority. He had all power. This is very important for us to understand. He said, because of that authority, He says, "I want you to go into all the world." And He says, "I want you to understand this. When you're going and you're telling people about Jesus, I'm with you." So His power is present with us as we can go. And we can go in His authority to give the Word of God. I want to stop and think about this word authority tonight. All of us here are under authority. We have people and situations under which you and I must place ourselves. There are folks who are in authority over us. It doesn't matter who you are. You have somebody who has authority over you. You say, "Well, if I was the President of the United States, nobody would have authority over me. I could do anything I want to." No, no, no. He has the authority of the Constitution that is over him. Okay? Matter of fact, he can be replaced because of that authoritative paper. And it's called impeachment. So we have here, all of us are in a position where we're under authority. Now think about this place of authority for a moment, because it's very important to recognize this. You have authorities that are over you. What's one of your authorities? Who can tell you what to do? Your mom, alrighty. Dad? Okay. Teacher? Grandma? Okay. Who else? Your stepfather? Alright. Okay. We got all sorts of folks. Okay. Matter of fact, we could say the policeman. That's a very true one. Pastor, okay. We have authorities that are over us. Now think about these authorities for a moment. Any of you ladies have an umbrella with you? An umbrella. Anybody have one with you? How many know what an umbrella looks like? Okay. If I have an umbrella over me, what's it doing? It's protecting me from something. The rain, alrighty. Now let's think for a moment about something, and let's go just a little bit farther in this. Rather than rain, there is something that is seeking to destroy you. When you go to the book of Ephesians, he talks about the fiery darts of Satan. He wants to destroy you. He is called in one place the destroyer. He wants to destroy your mind. He just wants to do it. And he is the one who's throwing those fiery darts. Now let's consider those fiery darts coming down out of the sky. We have an umbrella over us, not a paper one or a cloth one, but we got one that's made out of steel tonight. What's going to happen to those fiery darts? They're going to hit it and they're going to bounce off, are they not? So it's like a shield around us. Authorities become a shield. They're like an umbrella over us. They protect us. When my children were growing up and they were in my household, I had authority over them, and it was a place where they had protection from me. So they're going to do something that's going to harm them. I say, "Don't do that." Now, a lot of times as teenagers, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But moms and dads, they understand that. They understand, hey, there are things that are there that can hurt you. And there are things there that can destroy you. And often as children, as teens, and even in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, we don't recognize those destructive things. But authorities over us protect us. Okay? There's a thing that said speed kills. So we have on our freeways, we have on our street corners, we have all about us speed limit signs. What if the speed limit down Avenue N was 80 miles an hour? Would you call that a safe street? No. Matter of fact, we say, boy, that's a dangerous street because people are going so fast that somebody's going to get hit. So the speed limit on Avenue N is 25. That's an umbrella of protection. By the way, it's an authority that is over us. It's a law. Let's keep our hands on ourselves, guys. And so we have this situation. We are under a place of protection. That umbrella actually protects us and protects us from the attacks of Satan. Now, what I want us to stop and think about tonight is we have three basic responsibilities when it comes to the authority that is over us. Three basic responsibilities. Number one, we have the responsibility to obey them. Obey, what a word. Obey them. Obedience to the authority that's over us. If we do not obey, then that authority is worthless to us. If the speed limit was 80 and there's a car doing 75 down that street, I got a little son, he's 6 years old, and he's headed to the street and I say, stop! And he doesn't obey, what's going to probably happen? We're going to find ourselves in a horrible spot. And he's out from under the umbrella of protection. Obedience is very, very necessary. We must obey. And there's places that we obey. At home. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks of wives to their husbands. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, talking about the husband not obeying, that the husband, he might be won by the obedience of the wife to them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's an obedience thing. We're to obey government. We're to follow the laws of the land. He says, put them in mind to be in subjection or to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Those are judges. To be ready to every good work. If you're on the job somewhere, you better obey your employer or what will happen? Yeah, you're gone. But that's a biblical principle. He says, servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. We're to follow what they tell us to do. We're to obey them. We're to obey in the home. We're to obey in government in the world we live. We're to obey in the place of employment. And somebody said it a while ago, we're to obey also in church. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. It's referring to the spiritual leaders within the church. And so if we are going to have an authority, then we must recognize that we have a responsibility to that authority, and that is to obey him. Or her. It should be noted that obedience to authority is expected only in the area that has been given to them. For instance, the policeman, he is not the government inside of my home. Now, there may be a time when he must come inside of my home because I have broken a law of the land. But when it comes to discipline of my children or grandchildren, we don't call the police for that. That's my responsibility. The policeman's out on the street somewhere. The owner of a company doesn't go and tell the government what to do. He doesn't come to my house and tell me what to do. But there is one that has absolute authority, and that be God. But we fail to recognize that throughout most of our lives. So in anything and everything, God is authority. Now, if God is authority in home, God is authority in government, and God is authority in our churches, and we maintain our authorities within those places, then there is not a mixture. There's not a problem between them. A lot of folks, they get mixed up and they think, well, my family's more important than my church, or my government's more important than my family, or something of that nature. No, they're all three very important. God is the sole authority over all of them. There's a paradox involved here, and that is that every man who is in a position of authority is also under authority to another. Because I pastor this church does not give me the right to go out here and to drive down Avenue Inn at 80 miles an hour. Okay? So we all have our authorities. What do we have in responsibility to them? Obedience. But let's take this another step, because there's another word I want you to get, and this will be very important. And I want you to understand there's a difference here. There's not only the responsibility of obedience, but there's also the responsibility of submission. Submission goes deeper than obedience, because it comes down and touches the heart. Obedience is an action. Submission is an attitude. One can obey without submitting. But you cannot submit without obeying. In other words, I can tell you to do something, and because I've told you to do it, you obey it, but inside of your heart you say, I don't like this. Is that submission? No, it's not. Obedience is doing because you were told, perhaps even felt forced to. But submission is saying, I want to. Follow the difference? It's a big, big difference. And so we often find the Word of God, the word submit. The duty of all who are under authority is really to submit. If we learn how to submit to those who are above us, obedience would not be a problem. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He tells wives, submit, as we mentioned a while ago, to their husbands. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, the Bible says. See, it's not enough just to obey the orders of authority. We are to submit to the will and direction of that authority. As I mentioned, a child, they might obey with a grumbling spirit and a defiant attitude. They're obeying, but they're not submitting. A child is being forced to obey a command, but is a rebel in his heart, will eventually manifest himself in a place of disobedience. We must learn submission. What is it? It's an attitude of the heart. Many folks learn how to obey, but not a whole lot of folks learn how to submit. There'd be a real big difference. Let me share with you a few thoughts. If you argue with your authority, you haven't learned submission. If you argue with mom and dad, if you argue with boss, you haven't learned submission. If authority offends you and you resent someone telling you what to do, you haven't learned submission. If you're defensive, sensitive, or overly protective, you haven't learned submission. If you buck up at rebuke, you don't like it, you haven't learned submission. When we have all kinds of excuses, we haven't submitted. We may have obeyed, but we've not submitted. But when we have authority, there is a reaction to them. We must obey, but we also need to learn to submit. That's placing our will. That's saying, I want to do what they want me to do. It's recognizing that that authority has my good in perspective. Even though, and what we talked about a while ago there, even though we don't understand and it looks even hurtful, but we're recognizing, hey, this is something that is for our benefit. and I'm placing my will under them. This is not a popular thought of our day. But if we're going to have true Christianity, we must not only learn how to obey, but we must learn how to submit, place ourselves under the authority of another. Let me give you a little secret. I'm going to tell our young people this especially. If you someday want to be an authority, you've got to learn to submit yourself now to authority. Those who will not follow never make good leaders. We must learn how to follow, or we never can lead. And a third thing, as we think about authority, how do we react to them? What should be our attitude towards it? One is obedience, one is submission, but another is this old-fashioned word of respect or honor. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's a position of respect, where we are giving them homage. He tells us in Romans 13, he talks about honor to whom honor is due. And there it's referring to basically people in government. He tells us in the 1 Timothy, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Referring to most likely pastors within the church. And how we need to have this idea and understanding of the honor that is due to those who are in positions of authority. It's a position of respect. Disrespect is saying, I do not want that authority over me. I've been reading in the Old Testament. Of course, I read there every day, but I've been reading about David. Something that strikes me about David with Saul. Saul was the king. David's, when he first meets Saul, he's just a young man, probably a teenager. And later on, of course, David is put in a position where he's got strength and power. And he has opportunity on a few occasions to kill Saul. Saul's seeking to kill him and eliminate him. And David has an opportunity. God is basically opened the door for him. And David says, I won't lift my hand against God's anointed. Matter of fact, later on, Saul is killed in battle against the Philistines. He's wounded sorely. And when you read the account, you find that one occasion, one part of it, he fell on his own sword after he was wounded mortally. And it seems like he must not have been able to do the job then. There's a guy that comes along, he's an Amalekite. And this guy, Saul says, I want you to put the sword in me, kill me. I'm not going to make it. Have mercy on me, basically. And so this Amalekite takes a sword and kills Saul. He goes to David and tells David what took place. Do you know what David does? This is absolutely astounding to me. David's in a position of authority now, and David has the man who came and told him, I've killed Saul, the king, has him executed. And he says, out of his own mouth he testified that he killed the Lord's anointed. What happened? He did not have respect to the man that God had placed over the nation of Israel. And as a result, his life was taken. He thought he'd done a great service. But David understood a principle, and that is we must respect those who are in positions of authority, even though sometimes they, what? Are objectionable to us. We need to be very careful of criticism of authority even. It's dangerous ground. Needs to be handled properly. In fact, it talks about it for pastors. It says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Because a lot of folks, they just want to run their mouth. By the way, that ought to be true of our parents. It ought to be true of so many things. We need to be very careful. Why? Because God has placed authorities over us, and we need to have respect of those authorities. So we do. We obey them. Do what they say. Well, I don't like what they said. God put them over you, that is the way it's supposed to be. Secondly, not only obey them, we should submit ourselves to them. In other words, rather than crying and whining and complaining and fighting and bucking against it, it's basically saying, I'm going to accept their rule over me no matter what. And then we respect them. And let God take care of us through it. See? You have some authorities. Mm-hmm. You got a mom. You got parents. You got teachers. By the way, your bus driver. A lot of you guys spend a lot of time on buses to school, church. But you have authorities. What are we supposed to do? Obey them? Submit ourselves to them. That's accepting them as the authority without complaining, without all the arguing. And then respect them. What a position it brings us into. What it does is teaches us how to treat God. If God placed me as your authority as a pastor over you, if that's from God, if you are disrespectful to me, who are you disrespectful to? If God placed your mother over you and you are disobedient to her, who are you disobedient to? God. That's right. If God gave you a teacher in a classroom and you don't submit to what that teacher has to say, who are you being unsubmissive to? God. Who are we not respecting? God. God's placed a lot of authorities in our lives. And how we treat them is how we treat God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that you so care for us, that you place those over us that guard us and protect us. And Lord, oftentimes we get in the wrong position with it. We oftentimes rebel and don't obey. Sometimes we just won't submit, though we do what they say. Sometimes we have a very bad attitude and disrespectful. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this very crucial issue in our lives. For it's daily, it's ongoing, because we meet with it day after day, hour after hour, and really moment after moment. Work in each of our hearts. Bless in the time that's remaining tonight, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.